All right, someone who is here, it's J.P. Hornstra, and he writes for the L.A. Daily News. He's an author. You can follow him on Twitter at J.P.H.O.O.R.N.S.T.R.A. He does a great job. J.P., nice to have you with us.
Marty, you spell my name right every time. Thank you so much.
I try. Hey, do you have a book out?
I do. It's called The 50 Greatest Dodger Games of All Time, and it covers... Let's see, it doesn't cover the last 3 years because publishing deadlines and what have you, but it does cover everything from 1890 until 2015, 16. So quite a bit of history there.
Really, very good. And look, you're on the Giants flagship here, so we don't want to belabor the Dodgers too much, but I do want to talk to you about what you expect out of this team. But on the book itself, The 50 Greatest Dodger Games of All Time, and of course we have the book tree in Montclair. They can get all the books you want, and I'm sure JP's book is up there, or David can order it. But what's give me your top just couple of what games do you have? Do you have any with the Giants?
I do. I mean, some of the greatest games in Dodger history weren't necessarily great because the Dodgers won. I mean, certainly you got like the Kirk Gibson game in there. A few other dramatic walk-offs. Steve Finley, what have you. But I mean, when Bobby Thompson hits the home run to win the pennant on the final game of the season, how am I going to leave that out? Like, that's a great baseball game, regardless of who won. So there's something in there for Giant fans. I'm cherry picking that, but Jackie Robinson's debut game in 1947 is in there. Of course, that had nothing to do with the final score, but just for what it meant for society, it's arguably the greatest baseball game in history. You could make that case. Sandy Koufax's perfect game is in there. Those are all near the top.
Oh, very good. Very good. Well, of course, I grew up in Brooklyn, so, you're talking a little bit of things that I was I heard, and I was too young to remember 1951, but certainly things that happened when Jackie got traded to the Giants and wouldn't go and all that stuff. So I remember a lot of those things. All right, J.P. Hornstra is with us. J.P., looking at the Dodgers, and again, Tony Gonsolin tonight. I do these prep work, and I try to do it on Thursday for the weekend. And I must tell you, I went through Buehler, Stripling, Kershaw, Gonsolin, Urias. I went through the whole. I prepared for everybody because every day Dave Roberts was changing it. Is a Dodger rotation an issue?
No, the bullpen's an issue, and they need to get some good pitchers in there, especially in the ninth inning lately. As this last month has basically turned into their prep time for October, you still got to start somebody, five different pitchers, once every day. So that's been kind of the challenge that I think you and Dave Roberts are grappling with right now is like, even though, somebody like Tony Gonsolin might be better served pitching at the Dodgers bullpen, you need somebody who can throw at least five innings on the days that Kershaw and Ryu and Buehler don't start. And so today Gonsolin's doing that. Urias will try to stretch it out. And right now those are the five. But Gonsolin and Urias might be in the bullpen come October. And I think, in fact, if Dave Roberts had his brothers, it would be Kershaw, Buehler, and Ryu in some order for games 1, 2, and 3. And then Rich Hill is probably one of your four best starters if he's going good. And he's going to come off the disabled list next week and see if he can get up to five innings come October. And in the meantime, like I said, they still need somebody to start those two games, not started by Kershaw, Ryu, and Buehler. So today it's Gonsolin, and who knows? He might be in the rotation come October, but I doubt it.
What do you think about Gonsolin? I did the workup on him, and, he's a St. Mary's kid, and everything he's done so far, lefty's 186, righty's 217. A limited sample, of course. He's pitched well in L.A. Since the break, 24 innings, 15 hits, 5 runs, 6 walks, 19 strikeouts, runners in scoring position, 5 for 25, and all the numbers you like, they run on him a little bit, but that may be the catcher as well. But what do you think of this guy? Because I've never seen him pitch, and we will see him tonight.
Well, I think, you know, to your credit, even if you had followed him closely at St. Mary's, you might never have seen him pitch because okay. he was an outfielder at St. Mary's. And he's kind of every draft director's dream. He was a senior draft pick out of St. Mary's, didn't command a large signing bonus. One of those guys you try to turn into a good value pick out of the draft and just by taking a gamble. The Dodgers took a gamble on him, liked his arm, made him into a pitcher, and, I mean, here we are 3 years later, and he's part of the rotation, at least for now. So, to a degree, he's, you know, the Dodgers are kind of playing with house money with this guy. Anything that they can get from him, whether it's in the rotation or the bullpen from here on out this season, is, you know, he's beating his projections already to this point. But when you can throw in the mid to upper 90s with a fastball, take a little something off that with the split finger and mix in a couple, you know, tertiary and fourth pitches, you've got yourself a major league pitcher right there, and that's what they've seen. The strikeouts might not be as high as you like. The contact, the batting average on balls in play is probably a little bit lower than you like. If you're the Dodgers and you're asking yourself, can Tony Gonsolin continue to do what he's done so far? But having said that, like, you know, so far so good. He's exceeded expectations. Even if he can contribute to the bullpen in October, that would be a very valuable pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
All right, we'll see. 25 years old. JP, thanks for the insight. I didn't realize he was an outfielder at St. Mary's, senior pick from Vacaville. So, you know, the Northern California connection. Just thinking about the Dodgers, and look, the Giants are redoing the farm system. A few of their teams were in the playoffs. San Jose got eliminated, and Augusta got eliminated. Salem got eliminated, but Sacramento's still cooking against Las Vegas. But the Giants are starting to do the farm system, and they realize you got to build through it. How do you explain the players that come up out of the Dodger farm system? I mean, if it's Will Smith who's catching now, you got Lux, you got Verdugo, you got this guy. Every time you turn around, there's another big player coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I think you try to take it on a case-by-case basis and not really overstate it as some grand scheme that the Dodgers have tapped into as far as scouting and drafting and development that no other team is doing. You know, and in the case of Gonsolin, I think they truly, their scouts saw something that other teams didn't, and they maybe got a little bit lucky being able to get him when they did. You know, but in other cases, these guys are really fulfilling their promise. You know, you look at somebody like Gavin Lux, who was their first-round pick in 2016. He was expected to be this guy, just not necessarily major league ready at 21. I think the speed with which some of these guys has come up, that is a credit to what they are doing on the player development side. Really helping kids like Gavin Lux, Will Smith, even Dustin May, who the Giants won't see in this series, but who could be starting games if not relieving next week. These were all 2016 draft picks who came up through the minors really fast. So, you know, the timing of it, I think, may be a little bit unexpected in that regard. But, you know, you take a look at the 2015 draft class, rather. Matt Beatty was a sort of mid-round pick out of a small college in Tennessee, Belknap College, who's come up and basically hit 290 with a little bit of power and might even sneak into that playoff roster as sort of a backup corner outfielder slash first baseman. So there's a lot of exciting things going on the Dodgers farm. Some of it is expected. I would say most of it is expected. Some of it's a little bit unexpected, but really the most surprising thing, if you can say that, is just the speed with which some of these guys are turning up. I mean, you know, Gavin Lux, talk about good problems to have. He wasn't even Rule 5 eligible this winter. I don't think the Dodgers were counting on adding him to their 40-man roster until 2020 at the soonest, and now he might be squeezing some other guys out of roster spots. Good news for every other team who's Rule 5 drafting in this offseason, but yeah, they got some good things going.
Well, that's a story of baseball today, and that's why the Giants is kind of excited as they move people through the farm system as quickly as you can. And Farhan did it with the Dodgers, and I think he's going to try to do it as best he can with the Giants, and that's the biggest hope, is that they can duplicate that success the Dodgers had of moving people along quickly. Only have a minute or two left to chat with you, but Kenley Jansen, an issue when it comes to playoff time? How do the Dodgers handle him?
That's a great question, Marty. He's a bit of an issue right now. I see this going kind of one of three ways. Way one is that he figures out mechanically and you know, whatever it is, pitch mix has been tripping him up here lately, and he looks like Kenley Jansen that the Dodgers gave that massive contract extension to a couple years ago, in which case he'll be closing games in October. I think it's also possible that he finds out enough of what's missing from his repertoire right now that he's good enough to pitch in the bullpen in October, but he's not the best candidate to close, and he's a seventh inning or maybe eighth inning pitcher. Alternatively, I can also see a case where he's literally unable to get through any outings without giving up a run, and he misses the postseason roster entirely. I don't think that's off the table right now. So these last 3 weeks of the season are going to be pretty interesting for Kenley Jansen, and I couldn't tell you today exactly how the Dodgers are going to figure this out, but I think they want to give him time at least to regain that closer's role if he can.
Wow. Boy, great having you on. I appreciate it. Great insight, and especially on the Jansen stuff and all. Also how the Dodgers have moved people through the farm system. So appreciate it as always, and we'll catch up with you maybe the last weekend when the Dodgers come up here.
I'd be happy to do it, Marty. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks. That's J.P. Hornstra, L.A. Daily News. Very good.